Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Make It Sound Fiction podcast, where we pick apart pop culture, media, video games, film, TV, anything that kind of comes across our desks, makes us talk a lot. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm here with my co-host as usual.
Tyler.
Yeah, and we're back again this week to talk about the things that we're interested in the world of pop culture and media and stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's very hot here, I expect, also where you are, Tyler, as well.
Yeah, it's pretty hot, but probably, I don't know, I feel like every single time you complain about the heat, you have it worse than I do.
Yeah, it's like, I live next to a lake, so the humidity is actually worse than the heat, but it just kind of exacerbates it.
Humidity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just hate being,
You know what's also hot, Tyler?
What?
Steven Universe!
No.
That was a great segue.
We're gonna get bad iTunes reviews for bad segues.
Well, I have to say, though, summer seems to be the time when we get tons of Steven bombs, as the kids call it.
Is that a thing? They always... So they usually drop them in the summer?
They seem to do a lot more in the summer. Usually. But the, like, Steven bombs, as they're called, tend to be, like, 5 episodes over a week, and then you don't hear about them for months. And I would say this year has been really interesting, and the reason we wanted to start talking about Steven Universe is because not only have we been left on kind of like a cliffhanger.
What a cliffhanger.
But also because I got back into watching Steven Universe very recently, and Tyler watched the entire thing for the first time.
Like not very long ago, so that's why I was like, when do they usually come out? Because I'm very new to the way Steven Universe episodes come out. I had assumed that it was just season by season, like in a row, like all the episodes just come out and then the season's over, but apparently not.
No,
it's not how Steven Universe works.
I really don't know what the pipeline is for their budget or their schedules or what it's like over there for the Steven Crewniverse. I stopped watching the show somewhere in the beginning of season 5 because I got tired of the bombs and like trying to keep up with whenever it was just going to drop next, because they don't announce it
They don't announce it at all. I mean, the last episode just was shown at like a Comic-Con panel and just dropped.
And then just dropped because people are tweeting videos of it and stuff. So it's a very scattershot show, and that makes it very hard to catch up on, because I think like two of the preferred ways that any single person on the planet prefers to watch television shows these days is begrudgingly week to week through some sort of like streaming method, because no one watches anything on an actual TV at the time that it airs anymore. Or just all at once.
You binge it.
You binge it.
On Netflix, yeah.
It's extremely hard to binge a show that, number one, isn't consistently on any streaming service, with the exception that just came to Hulu up to season 5 very recently.
Yeah.
Which is how you watched it, correct?
Yes,
yeah.
Yep, I watched it on Hulu.
So it's not even current on streaming services, so it's very hard to binge the last season, because we're in the middle of the last season. But also, like, the schedule for it going live is really scattershot. They don't promote it very well. You just have to, like, see people shouting about it on Twitter.
Yeah, you have to, like, follow people that talk about it or, like, go to the subreddit, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know how much I love going to subreddits.
Because it's just, like... the way they did the last one, just for an example, it was shown at the Comic-Con panel, and then, like, a random, like, artist or somebody that works on the show was like, oh, yeah, it'll be out on, like, the Cartoon Network app the channel, like, today or tomorrow. That was the news, like, a tweet from a random person, not, like, Rebecca herself. It was just a person. So it's just, like, it's one of those things where people have to be, like, scouring for Steven Universe news. Which people do, by the way, but it's not hard to find, but it's like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to check Cartoon Network because it's that day that Steven Universe is usually on. That's not a constant.
Yeah, no, it's really not.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I stopped watching it to begin with, is I just got kind of tired of like the only way I found out about a show was through these like really indirect methods. Although admittedly I was still on Tumblr back when I was still watching the show, so it was a little bit more consistent to see like, you know, people talking about it. But that also means that if people are talking about it, that already means that you missed the upcoming episode and people are already spoiling it.
Yeah, which is an issue. I was going to say that like a big issue with the like the reason we're complaining about it coming out weirdly is I think it runs into an issue which like we're finding lately with the last season is like the show has gotten to the point where the story is like really kind of not coming to an end, I guess, maybe, but like definitely hitting the really big points that we like have been wondering about for years, I guess, or people, not me, but I guess a lot of people have. And the fact that it's coming out like at an inconsistent schedule means that it's really hard to like, you don't want to wait for the next one, obviously, but also it's just hard to keep a good story that's like, it's hard to make the episode satisfying to watch if you never know when the next episode's coming out. Like, the last episode ends on such a cliffhanger of a big reveal that we've been waiting for a long time, and who knows when the next episode will be, and that kind of, like, hurts the individual episodes because they don't feel like they feel like really tiny snapshots of a bigger, a bigger thing. Like, every episode for the last couple, like, maybe 10 or so, have felt like they should have been, like, twice as long.
That's another problem that we have with this show as we're, like, launching into, like, all of these criticisms of the show is that I've noticed over the past, like, two seasons that the show's writing and art budget seems to have gotten severely shortened.
It's really narrowed down in scope, it seems like.
And
it just seems to be focusing on
just the gems.
Just the gems, which is, like, obviously, you know, there's been also complaints about, like, what, there was, like, the season that had a lot of, like, just, like, the humans in it.
Yeah.
Which people had an issue with. But, I mean, I like those characters, too. But it just doesn't... The reason that I think they focus or they switch it up, not just on being on the gems, so it gives the show like a scope, and it feels like there's more happening that isn't just like the world ending stuff.
But
it's just always been the gem stuff.
And it also like, and I've mentioned to you this, I mentioned this to you like so many times now, and I still haven't really nailed exactly what my feeling on it was. The show, and I keep mentioning like budgets because it feels like they are underfunding, like, not because I don't know how animation works.
We don't know how it works.
I don't know what the industry
especially
is like.
Cartoon Network.
Oh, especially Cartoon like Network. It's very much like the Valve of animated.
I have to imagine they have a lot of weird traditional stuff that gets carried over from Cartoon Network. Like, I don't know.
Because
it's so old.
My understanding is very minimal, but what it feels like when I watch the episodes now is that there is so little actual writing happening.
Yes, yeah.
Things are very different from the first season, where they would just do something minimal for one episode, and that was completely fine. Like, they would just wander through a different location, there would be characters in the background, there would be just like little one-off gags, whereas the latest episode that we watched, and we'll probably go more into like actual story beats very shortly here, is that like they just jumped from one location to the next with no sense of progress, no sense of time passing,
which is, it's funny because that's the thing that Game of Thrones is doing now that it's getting near the end. And we don't, that's the other thing, is like Game of Thrones is getting near the end, so honestly I haven't had too much of an issue with like the way they jump around in that show, but Steven Universe doesn't seem like it's actually getting to the end, apparently.
It really doesn't, but it also feels like the show has just gotten all of the like charm and like added frills kind of wrung out of it, so that it feels like kind of a shadow of its former self. I don't know how to explain what
I feel like to me it's something with the way that you would get episodes, and I mean, having seen them all recently, I feel like there was a lot of episodes where it was like, let's just learn something about Garnet or something, like let's just learn some kind of like quirk about Garnet that she's like kind of into that we didn't know. And all the episodes now are just like, no, let's deal with the diamonds, let's deal with like something big, and you don't ever get very many like character moments. It's just like, here's a big reveal and here's the reactions, here's a big reveal and here's the reactions. It doesn't have like the kind of quieter story stuff that builds, because that was the thing, is like Steven Universe always built to something. because they would do things where it's like, oh, they walked through this, like you said, an environment, and then it's like, oh, this environment is actually like historic in the lore.
Yeah.
And then also like it's something that's like brings up maybe like past stuff that is still happening now or whatever it is, you know. And that would be like something you kind of get slowly over the episodes that maybe aren't about something huge. But in all the episodes recently, in season 5 at least, a lot of them have just been so, like, they're just been big moments. And, like, I realize, like, you know, with any story, when you're getting near the end-ish, or, like, starting to tackle the big stuff you've been talking about for a long time, I guess it's hard to kind of keep, like, a scale of, like, story beats. But that's the issue, is I feel like every single thing is just huge. So you don't ever get to really spend time with any of the characters anymore, other than just like knowing how they would react. Like, that's it. Like, it's just sort of like reactions to big things to me, which, yeah, you obviously, you want some of that, but you also want to know, like, well, like, what is the internalization of, like, what, like, how does Pearl feel about this or whatever? Like, we don't get a lot of that. We just get like gasps and, like, you know, fighting and stuff.
It feels like a lot of story and not a lot of writing. Does,
yeah,
that make
that's
sense?
I guess that's what I was saying, yeah, is like before that writing would feel kind of intricate and like kind of like building to something.
Delicate.
And it would feel like, yeah, it felt, and also like elegant too, because it like
it interwoven.
Wrote, yeah, a lot of words.
Yeah,
because I guess the thing I thought about Steven Universe as is like it's a lot of writing, but a lot of that is like visual, so it's sort of cut out. Like the writing is there. Like clearly they wrote the reason for this place to exist that they're walking through. But it's shown visually, and I sort of count that as like writing in a way. Yeah,
they're breaking the show don't tell rule. That's what they're doing, is they're breaking the show don't tell rule, which is like, don't say that the diamonds are scary. Show that the diamonds are scary. But the thing is that it feels like so much of the scaffolding of the world, of the characters, of the relationships is gone. That's what it is. That's what it is. The scaffolding of this world has been kind of like de-emphasized to such a great degree, which is funny because we're getting into episodes that clearly need to be written more to the fact that they need to be a half hour long episode.
Yeah.
And they're condensing a half hour story to 11 minutes and then cutting all of the stuff that makes the story interesting off at the knees. So you get these like highly condensed, super rushed, underpaced, underwritten episodes that are 11 minutes long and very little actually happens other than big story beats that have zero credibility with the rest of the story.
Yeah, a lot of it feels like they, it really, like, that's what I was trying to say with like the reactions. It feels just like, oh, this is like emotionally complex, but I'm just gonna say like, wow, I'm like the characters are just like, you know, like, wow, I'm affected by this.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, there's just like, that's it. And it's like you're left to infer a lot, which I realize, like, I think a lot of the fandom, at least from what I've seen lately, is like a lot of people like to read into that stuff, but it doesn't mean the show is good. It just means like you have time to like really consider like maybe what the characters are feeling, but it's not on the page. And that's doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that like there's something lacking in the episodes when that stuff felt like it was very clear in the previous seasons of like, because like I said, you'd have an episode where it's like, oh, Pearl is just sad, or like Pearl is just like conflicted about something for the entire episode, and she doesn't like solve it by the end, and that's how she feels for the last, for like the next three episodes. She has like this like, you know, thing to work through. But in the episodes recently, it's just big moments, and then they're just worked, like they're completed like in 15 minutes, and it's really I think you don't like it as much as I do, because like I've definitely, I guess I'm like not as like, I don't know, I guess I'm maybe not being as harsh on the show, but like I just feel like it really does. I think I agree though, like it does feel like an echo of what it was, because there was something really like not magical, because that's like vague I guess, but just something like kind of like the world was just so inviting and interesting, and there were so many things that was like, wait, is that how that works? Like, I don't know, I'm kind of curious to see if like that ever happens. And like, oh, I wonder where this place they are is. Like, are they going to ever go back here? And now it just feels like, no, that none of that stuff is ever going to happen, because the show is really focused on the big stuff. And the big stuff, now that it's here, kind of like you said, the show don't tell thing, now that it's here, it's like not really that exciting. It doesn't feel like it has very much weight.
It doesn't have as much time to really stretch its legs. The implications of the diamonds being sort of in the story And okay, so we're gonna formally probably go into spoilers now.
Hard without that,
so if you have not watched Current with Steven Universe and you care about spoilers at all, please turn the podcast off. Don't come back until you have watched everything.
Yeah, unless you don't care.
So the revelation that Rose Quartz is Pink Diamond means that all of the diamonds are coming back into the story, and the last episode we saw was basically, I consider, a rush job to getting all of the people to, like, go see White Diamond.
Yeah.
It was a chop job. Like, and the thing is it didn't even feel like an episode. It felt like half of an episode that we got 11 minutes of, which is just, like, infuriating. But that should have been a crazy-ass moment. You've been seeing hints of White Diamond in the show for 5 seasons now. And her reveal was, like, really breathtaking, but it came so quickly at the end of an episode that was already so pressed for time that it was just, like, and it, like you mentioned, it literally just ended.
She's, like, there, like, hello, Starlight, and then it actually just cuts to an ending. Like, it's, and episodes in the earlier seasons did this, but I feel like, and I don't know if this is true, I don't know if you know this, but there are episodes earlier in the seasons that definitely did this, but I'd assume the next episode was nearby compared to now, like, because basically, if there was an episode like the next day or the next week, that wouldn't be as, I mean, that would be a bad ending still, but you know, it wouldn't be as bad. But we're like a week out now, like a full week out, and there's no hint at another episode soon yet.
There's been short like cliffhanger endings, but they still end. They still have like a cutoff. Like,
right. Not, and also, they're never usually White Diamond. They're usually like, oh no, the rubies are here? Like, there's rubies here or something? Yeah. Like, that's the one I remember, is like the rubies are just at the like place where Lapis is and stuff.
The farm. Yeah.
Yeah, the farm. Yeah. So,
it's really frustrating because on the one hand, I really want to geek out about all of the diamonds showing up and kind of figuring out what their relationship is, because it's clearly like pretty integral to the story and that sort of thing. But it's been mishandled so much that I'm basically like watching the show out of like sunk cost fallacy versus like really being intrigued by anything anymore, because I'm just so frustrated with how lifeless all of the episodes feel at this point.
Well, and I think another issue, I was just thinking about this now, is like another issue we might have too is the show seems to want to like, it shows Yellow Diamond and Blue Diamond in a way that is like, oh yeah, that is really weird that they have to like deal with like you know, Pink being this like little kid, and what does that mean, you know? And obviously we had a lot of episodes where we had the crystal gems deal with that and the other gems, but like we don't really know a lot about Yellow and Blue. We don't really know like a ton about their personalities, and we know a fair amount, but like, because obviously more than like White Diamond, but it's a little hard, I think, to get to like empathize with them or to like kind of understand what they're going through when they haven't really spent a lot of time with them. And I don't know, I feel like I guess maybe the answer the show is gonna say is like to that would, or that like issue would be like, oh well, the diamonds are supposed to be sort of mysterious, so you're not supposed to like fully understand them. But when nothing else is happening in the episode with like the crystal gems, and a lot of it is focused on like the diamonds like either being like mean or then having the realization that it's Pink all along, you don't really know how to like, I feel like I can't get with them on like what they're going through, so it makes the episodes fall like flat.
Because that's the heart of the show, is making you feel emotional towards these characters, because they all have these really relatable feelings despite being like aliens, basically.
So the thing that reminded me is, I would like, you know, we've seen some like, or I've seen a couple like comics that are like kind of making up like a backstory for like Pink in the diamonds, the rest of the diamonds.
Yeah.
And we don't actually have that story. So like, I mean, obviously, Blue Diamond is really sad about Pink being like gone, or she thought she was like dead, right? That's, you know, that makes sense. We know about the like past, but we don't really understand like why she cares that much, other than her, you know, her just being sort of like her sister. Like, we don't really know.
We kind of don't know if they're sisters. We don't know if they're sisters or if they are. My headcanon theory is that they are all facets of one actual gem. I am of the idea that they originally were that they weren't a fusion. They were just one entity, and that they were just chopped in four or split apart, and that's where like the idea of like fusion being verboten except with like similar gems being like a thing. So because we see White Diamond as being an absence of color versus being faceted with all the colors. So I have a feeling that, like, at one point White Diamond was, you know, a multifaceted colored gem with all of these personality traits.
But we just don't have, we haven't had the time to understand any of that stuff, and we just aren't getting shown that. And that's, like, I know that, like, they're not the main characters, but if we're, the way the show is depicting them acts as if we should, like, really care about them, and it's hard to when you don't really know them.
There's also a whole host of characters that are on Homeworld that we have no indication of if they're okay or not, because the show has conveniently forgot about them, which is, what's his face?
Lars.
Lars and all of the, like, all renegade the other gems.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I know that we're probably going to find out about them next episode, but what
or
if
in
we
the
don't?
Movie. The movie's coming out too. That could be a lot of that. I don't know.
I don't really. I'm so tired. I'm so tired by this. Like, I want to love Steven Universe so much, but it's so hard. And it's so hard being a fan of Steven Universe because it also feels like. What I think, because the show has such a problem with showing little drips and drops of, like, lore and stuff, when in the past they were really good at it, the fan base has just also gotten to be just really intense over the years because it has so much dead time between episodes.
Which leads to people making, like, theories and having, like, headcanons that are true to them.
Fights about stuff, and also just the fact that, like, the Steven Universe fan base is so passionate about stuff that, like, they do kind of run into things really intensely. Like, I know that I've talked to my friend Gita about this several times, and her takes on fandom are always really good, of, like, the idea that a fandom, like, eats itself when there's, like, very little, like, updates happening is, like, such a trend, and I think Steven Universe absolutely has that problem. Yeah. Because it's like the fans have nowhere to put that energy because new content isn't coming out regularly, so they just get into fights with each other and, like, argue about, you know, fan art and fanfic and what's good. And also it's hard because it's a show that's ostensibly for a, like, young tween audience, and a lot of the people in the fandom are adults, including myself. Right. So it's like you know, like,
well, then you get the issue, too, where it's like, I feel like sometimes, I mean, you know, you can watch a show however you want, but I also feel like I see a lot of stuff that is, like, very uncritical of the show. Like, I see a lot of stuff, like, on, like, the subreddit and stuff, of just, like, people being like, wow, this episode is, like, a bunch of reveals, and I'm going to just, like, spend a lot of paragraphs, like, you know, trying to theorize what's going to happen, but not, like, I don't know, realize that the show isn't really that good lately.
But if you say that you would get, like, excoriated.
That's the thing, is that's where the arguments come from, I guess, is my point, is, like, somebody will say, like, yeah, this episode didn't really do that much, and it's like, no, it did, like, we learned about this finally, isn't that really cool? And it's like, well, I mean, it's cool to learn about things, I guess, but it doesn't mean the show is good, because it's still a show, it's still a story.
Yeah, learning about stuff, I think, satisfies a particular part of the fandom that's there in a capacity to elaborate and create off of those things, and not whether the original content is good or not. And you see that a lot with, like, Overwatch too.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Writing fanfic and fan art, and that's all great. And I love community
stuff
created
is really
stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
But it means that part of the fandom that wants to just engage with the concept of the work and not the work itself is always a part of the fandom that I've had the most trouble integrating with.
Yeah, I always fundamentally can't get with that, which I guess, like we said, it's not bad to do that. It's just not something I guess we both do ever.
Because we're, like, critics.
Yeah.
We have to look at the text. We have to look at the text as a work and interrogate it, because it's not just enough. Like, do I have my moments where I engage with, like, Overwatch or Steven Universe in just, like, a fan,
like,
way?
Oh my god, we learned about this finally. Now we know Sombra's name. Yeah.
Yeah, or like, oh my god, look at this cool fan art of like Sombra or White Diamond or Rose Quartz, and oh my god, wouldn't
all the
wouldn't
diamonds
be so cool?
Kissing. Yeah.
Yeah. But like at the end of the day, I also have to balance it out with saying, well, what was actually in that episode? What was actually the show trying to say? What are the messages here? What is the writing telling to me? Where's the weaknesses? Where's the underlying support for this idea? What is happening? And that's one of the reasons why I have to pull back from fandom a lot of the time, is because they want their love of this thing to be so pure that it elevates the work in a way that maybe it is lacking currently.
Yeah.
It's okay to love something and to be extremely critical of it.
Right.
And to criticize it, because that's also what is a great jumping off point for fan creation. Like,
yeah,
so much fanfic has been written because a show wrote something in a way that gave somebody an idea to say, oh, yeah, God, I mean, just do so much better than that. I could write
Steven
this so
Universe, like Steven Universe is like comes from other shows, like even entire non-fan shows, like new shows come from people coming up with ideas based on stuff they've seen, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. But, like Steven Universe used to be just one weird like pilot about the character, about the gems, and like that was it. Like, there's always a value in a work existing and to be a jump off point for the fandom, but that love has to be tempered with a reality that the work still exists and that there are people who want to look at it as a whole versus just quote unquote the lore. I know we also see that a lot in video games too.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people a lot of people love video games because of the lore versus talking about it as a whole.
People do this with Dark Souls a lot, like because they're very lore heavy and like people are afraid to be like, this maybe this game isn't very good, like maybe this is like a bad storyline or something, of people, but people are like, oh my god, it's a big reveal of this thing we've been wondering about, and it's like, eh.
Yeah, learning story reveals is not a replacement for a good story being told. Yeah. It's not.
It's like, just not. That's just not how stories work.
Yeah. A movie having a twist and very little substance is why no one likes M. Night Shyamalan films.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. Because you can't carry it on a twist. There are so many good stories in both the Western and especially in the Eastern tradition of there being no twist, no reveals, just a story being told. And I think that that's something that gets lost in fandom culture particularly.
Yeah, because reveals and twists are only just like tools. Like, they're tools that are supported by good storytelling. They only are affecting to you if you care about the characters and the story, you know?
Yeah.
They just don't work without it.
Is it. Exactly. Exactly. Like, you have to... A good story can just be like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, versus like, we find out who this person's father is. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, like you got to care about that person. You got to care about why we would want to know his father, you know, which sounds boring, but you have to do that work because like writing stories is not just easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Steven Universe, like I want this show to be really good, and I want it to finish out strong.
Because it really was good. It really was fascinating, and really cool, and it just had a lot of really interesting characters that were complex for, like, you know, for, like, a younger audience. Surprisingly complex, I think. More complex than, honestly, some Overwatch characters. Like, you know, like, there's, like, modern fiction that isn't as complex as Steven Universe characters, but right now it's not very good.
I think I want to, so let's maybe balance out kind of the criticism is like, what was the thing about Steven Universe that you liked the best? Because for me, it was telling pretty adult, like you said, pretty adult concepts in a format that kids could get, and emphasizing certain thematic and emotional elements that no other cartoon show is like
and
doing.
And it didn't
like,
do... It also didn't wrap them up nicely with like a bow. You know, it wasn't like everyone's happy now. It was like, no, like this is always going to be a thing that affects this character, and it really hurts. Like, it's not going to be over.
That's a thing that's not even in adult media.
Yeah,
like, that's
it's not.
Like characters are not allowed time to mourn or to grieve or to feel betrayed
or just
or
confused.
Hurt
there are
or
characters
confused.
In Steven Universe. Like, Steven himself is just confused about his like mom. Like, he just doesn't really know what to think.
I love her, but she did all these bad things, and but she's still my mom. But I'm people think my mom. I'm
her, which is weird, and I don't know how to deal with that. Yeah,
and that's like something that like real kids and real adults have to grapple with. Yeah. It's like I have these complicated feelings about this person that I may or may not know, and you know, with the legacy of what they did, like.
Right.
You know,
sometimes it's like just like, oh, you're just like you're going to grow up to be like your mom or whatever. And it's like, maybe I won't, you know?
Yeah. And I know that both of us have really kind of latched onto certain characters because of the emotional personality sort of traits that they have. Like, I am super invested in like Lapis in particular, yeah. Lapis and like Peridot, because I feel that they are really good allegories for what it feels like to be traumatized and to kind of deal with it. And I see that Lapis, it's really interesting that this show has two allegories, like allegories or metaphors for trauma being dealt in very different ways. Like Peridot obviously very shell-shocked about some things or has lived a very emotionally stunted life, but has come out of it very like, you know, allowed to dig into her personality, allowed to be independent and to stretch what that means. And in one sense, and then there's Lapis, who is still troubled and cynical and angry and upset all the time. And the two characters are allowed to coexist and to have their feelings. And that's so important to somebody like me, who's felt like both of those people at times, you know?
Yeah. And that's the stuff that the show just doesn't really contend with at all anymore, at least lately. Like, it just doesn't have time for that stuff for some reason.
That sucks.
Despite it that being the reason I think, I don't know, at least the reason we both like the show. I don't know.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I think so. Because I know that both of us have had conversations like, oh my God, this episode, like, it just reminded me so much of like this thing that happened to me when I was a kid or when I was older and how I feel like right now. And I totally, you know, we would just talk back and forth like, yeah, no, I could totally see how you could read it like that. Or, you know, like this, that, and the other thing. Like, I know that both of us like felt very strongly about like, and but also we also speculate too. We also speculate about the story too. Like, because
that's another reason I like the show. Yeah.
The relationships, like, you know, Pearl's relationship with Pink Diamond is really fascinating to me because we don't.
Yeah, and it is 100%. Really actually frustrating that the show just doesn't do anything with that.
Yeah,
like honestly, the show. I still feel like the show just like could have like went in deep with like whatever that meant, that relationship, and I feel like it's just saying like, it was fine. Like it wasn't as bad as maybe you thought because we don't feel like going into that. Let's move on. Look at White Diamond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which that's Steven
the frustrating part is just like there's just stuff that we could talk about. Or the show could talk about, but it just doesn't seem to be interested anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm hoping it gets better, but I have a feeling
it could still. But yeah, I'm kind of pessimistic about it, I guess.
It's been so many episodes that I'm kind of, I don't know. It sucks because it's still doing kind of interesting things, like the fact that like Ruby and Sapphire got gay married on a children's cartoon show. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's not something that happens on children's cartoons.
And that's almost kind of frustrating, too, because that is tied to, like, bigger stuff, too. Like, that is bigger just overridden by bigger stuff, you know? There's no real... We haven't had, like, an episode that's been quiet for a long time.
We haven't, no. And it's been months apart, too, so... Anyways, so... Now that we've gotten that out of our systems, we should jump into, well, basically, I mean, I should set this up is, despite the fact that both of us have taken very large breaks from playing World of Warcraft,
never a good choice, but you know, I do it. I consistently always go back to World of Warcraft in July, by the way. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but
no, you haven't.
Yeah, if you like look at, I don't know if you can look at your history, but I almost always start playing in July. I don't know why, but it's always July.
Because it's a slow time for the rest of
the video games. It's
also
vaguely before the next expansion always.
Vaguely, yeah. Because the next expansion has actually pretty reliably come out between August and October for a couple of years now, I believe. Because I know that there was one year when a expansion release came out the like week of BlizzCon, and I can imagine that that is the most horrifying thing for Blizzard employees ever.
Yeah.
To have their major like marketing event and one of their biggest game releases happen within the same month or even quarter. So like I can't imagine they ever want to do that ever again to like make sure that their staff stays sane. So but yeah, both of us got back into World of Warcraft pre the release of Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah.
I keep thinking Battle for the Alliance. And
oh, really? Huh.
And both of these nuts. this is infecting my brain. But yeah, both of us have gotten back into the game pre Battle for Azeroth. And
I don't know. Like, I don't have. Like, I honestly don't. I've gotten back into the game a lot, so I haven't, like, I don't usually have, like, incredibly strong feelings about, like, being overwhelmed with, like, the new stuff to, like, get used to or, yeah, like, learning a class, just because I've done that before. So it's sort of, like, normal for me at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I just sort of expect to have to deal with everything. But the stuff that I feel like we've been most kind of, I don't know, heated, maybe is a word, about is just, like, the way the story, especially with the upcoming expansion, is, like, incredibly stupid and, like, it's hard to care about it at all, and it's an entire expansion, and they're like, you know, there's little shorts I guess of the different, yeah, characters that have to do with like Jaina and Sylvanas and stuff that have to do with the upcoming expansion that like are not good. Like, I mean, yeah, not that the shorts themselves are not good, but it's hard to care about them when the conflict is about Horde versus Alliance again. And you honestly know more about this than I do, I think, because I haven't like closely followed like the big story stuff since like early days, but mm-hmm, it just seems like they keep trying to do this and it never matters, and there's a lot more interesting characters to explore and stuff to explore than just like, oh, what if the two factions that you can choose from in the game just fight again but then actually get back together for some bigger threat every, yeah, single time.
I should give some backstory here to where I'm coming from with this game, because I have a feeling that a lot of our listeners don't really know, because if you have followed me on Twitter or read my writing over the past like 2 or 3 years, I actually really don't mention World of Warcraft, but yeah, I played it from 2004 to 2014-15 hardcore. I mean, like, progression rating, I had multiple max level characters, I have achievements that are completely off the wall to try and get. I have legacy stuff. I have, you know, like, I was in it. I was deep in it. And that was like my one game. That was one of the reasons why I didn't really engage with gaming culture for almost a decade, because I only played a single game, and that was World of Warcraft.
Which is funny that you say that, that like the idea of like not engaging with gaming culture, because I feel like going back after doing that a lot, because I did the same thing, but obviously earlier than you, like I didn't play as long as you did, but I like also didn't pay attention to a lot of games. And now that since I have, and I go back to WoW now, it feels like WoW, the game didn't like, has no awareness of culture.
It's so insular, the yeah, community, the game, the development. It despite being what used to be a tastemaker for the genre, which is MMOs, right, it used to be the juggernaut, it was the gorilla, it was the thing that everybody
people
had
wanted
to,
it, yeah.
Yeah, like, it came in the ashes of EverQuest, and it did what EverQuest really couldn't, was be accessible to outside, you know, people that had never picked up an MMO, that didn't know what it was about. It was developed in the heyday of... It was developed in the heyday of MMOs, because this was before social media started. It was before everybody grew up and had a job.
Before
and kids
MOBAs
and
sort
was
of
married.
Went away, honestly, or changed, yeah, drastically.
It was before MOBAs got, yeah, big too. Like, yeah, so MMOs were...
Or I said MOBAs went away. I meant yeah, MMOs went away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. MMOs are kind of not really as much of a thing anymore, yeah, in... Which is interesting, because I definitely think that World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV are very strong, but they're the only two.
They're strong, like, but the MMO now is Destiny, like, in terms of, like, yeah, design. It's very, like, single player, but then you group up, not like, just big.
Yeah, that's the direction of MMOs now, which is funny because Destiny 100% has ripped off so many things from World of Warcraft. But I didn't have to grapple with playing other games or doing other stuff, and I was so deep into it that when the spell was finally broken, it was because I was so disturbed and distraught over the story, over the community, over the direction of the game. It was when Warlords of Draenor was announced, which was, again, another, like, faction-fighting heavy
story. Yeah, and that was, like, the expansion line before the last one, for context. Yeah, but yeah,
for context.
Yeah.
So, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was marketed in such an aggressive, masculinized
sort of way. It's very much about the orc characters and the past and, like, going back and changing things.
Going back to, like, the nostalgia of, like, the orcs versus humans. Because
that's,
for
like, the original Warcraft. That's Warcraft.
Warcraft.
Orcs versus
Warcraft,
humans. It's literally the first
game.
Yeah.
But it was marketed in such a way, like, the key art that they announced at BlizzCon that year for that expansion was 9 of the orc leaders.
Yeah, I forgot about
dressed up like sort of like metal. They all look like metal.
Yeah,
heads,
like shirtless,
basically.
Muscular orc guys with, like, you know, skulls on their belts.
Yeah,
and like axes
and like fire and brimstone and all sorts of stuff like that. And I looked at that and I said, "This game isn't for me anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't want me as an audience member. It doesn't care about me as a woman," because there had been a bunch of incidents with, like, developers and community leaders and stuff being extremely misogynistic. The fact that the game always just drenched itself in, like, sexist, racist jokes and iconography and just kind of the worst of gamer culture, but sort of, like, reduced down into this, like, horrible sludge that was even worse because it was directly tied to just one game, and it never got, like, gaming as a community is bad. World of Warcraft as a community is worse. Because
Well, it's weird. Do you think that, I was kind of, this is a question to you, is like, do you think they really struggle with that with Warcraft, especially because it's a game that is like, it's an MMO, so it never ends, right? And then they continue to add story, and obviously they retcon some stuff, but that stuff is always in there. It's always in the wikis. It's always back there at the core of the game. It's always, like, layers upon layers of things.
Here we go. Here's a great example. Yeah. We're playing, so to kind of bring us up to the present, we decided to roll low-level characters because one of our friends, who's quite a bit younger than both of us, decided to play World of Warcraft for the first time. And we were going to, like, you know, guide her and run her through stuff. And we do a quest that was designed in Cataclysm. So, you know, like 5 years ago at this point, 5, 6 years ago.
2010, I think it was. Wasn't it 2010? I think it was 2010.
And 2010, and Garrosh, in a quest, calls Sylvanas a bitch.
Yeah.
In both text and voiceover. He calls her a bitch. And we're just, like, sitting there, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I remember being angry at this the first time that I heard about it.
Yeah.
And now we're still sitting here, and it's still in the game. It's 8 years later, and it's still in the game.
Even,
no one thought
funny,
that was
that dude that says that is dead, by the way, but, you know.
Yeah, the character, not the voice actor.
Yeah,
the
not the voice, sorry, not the voice, yeah, the character. Yeah.
The character
the
is
The orc
dead.
That says it, yeah.
But because of the non-transitory nature of the characters and the timeline, with some exceptions, because Cataclysm kind of was them changing a lot of the, like, topography and storyline stuff to be updated, but it hasn't really been updated since then, so things are sort of, like, preserved in amber. And the community is the same way. It's so insular and only focuses on one game that I feel like it takes so much longer for the community outside of World of Warcraft and MMOs to penetrate anything that happens. And the same thing is it's the same as, like, everything going out. So think of, like, the World of Warcraft community as, like, a planet with a super dense atmosphere and extremely, like, low gravity. It just, or I would say high gravity, because it just sucks everything into it and it never escapes. Like a black hole. It's a black hole. Yeah. It's a black hole. So World of Warcraft community is a black hole. And it just is one of the reasons why I quit. So getting back into it, and sort of seeing the same issues crop up means that, like, I've already so emotionally checked out of what we're doing at this point, but I still get angry. I'm still angry about so much stuff, except now it's years later, and I've had the benefit of mingling with far smarter, eloquent, critical, creative people who dabble in other games, in other mediums, film, television, that I'm bringing that back with me to World of Warcraft, and it's tempering the anger because now it's productive. Now I'm not just sitting around playing this one video game and being angry and not being able to change that situation.
Yeah.
It's, if something makes me so angry about World of Warcraft, I can just put it down and go do fucking something else.
Right. Which is a thing that I like, it's almost like embarrassing a little bit. It's like when I used to play WoW, I probably definitely was like that kind of insular community like member. Mm-hmm. Like, and because it was all I knew and it was like all I cared about. I read like the lore and stuff. And so like, and I knew a fair amount back then. Obviously a lot has changed. But now when I go back, I always feel like I can't talk about the game very critically because I just don't, I treated it so much like a thing to just sort of explore and be curious about, and I wasn't very critical of it at all. So it's really hard for, I get confused now because it's like, well, is this person that's in, like, is this character good? I only know about them, but I don't know if any of that is, like, weird. Like, I don't know if there's stuff that happened that is, like, kind of bad. Like, I just am, like, sort of, I don't really, I never took the game that critically in terms of, like, narrative before. And so when I go back, it's always weird for me because it's like, you know, I just get kind of like overwhelmed with like, is this game as bad as I think? Like, I'm assuming the game is bad from what I know from other people like you, but I just never saw that when I was playing because I was that person that you were probably criticizing.
Yeah.
So it's hard because I've just changed a lot. So it's hard to play. So I guess it's like, it's weird to go back to a game in that sense of like, well, I don't know if I care about any of this, but I did care about it. It's really nostalgic for me. Like, I obviously cared about this stuff. Like, I, you know, I thought it was cool. I probably, when Draenor was coming out, that they were going back to the orcs. I mean, I don't really care about the orcs that much, but it's, you know, it's like, oh, we're going back in time to this stuff that happened. That's cool. But like, that was my reaction. But now, you know, I could, you know, I'd probably have more of a reaction like you do where it's like, oh God, like, I don't want to play that. Like, you know, like looking back, I think about that now. But so it's really hard to kind of interpret the game that way. That's why, like, the new expansion now, I'm just like, that's so bad because, like, I remember thinking that was cool, but now that I'm, like, really considering, like, all, like, when we were talking about it, considering, like, how many times they've tried to do the same conflict and also the way they, like, we've talked about, like, treat their, like, women, like, characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, it's really bad when you really think about it, but obviously it's, I think that's, I guess maybe I'm like an example of kind of like the people that kind of grew up with the game or whatever that maybe don't want to be very critical of it because, and that's the kind of the players I think that it seems like WoW is sort of written for and made for a lot of the time. And
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's the problem is like, it feels like it's for a bunch of players that just have a lot of nostalgia for it and play it all the time and keep going back. And they're just going to just accept whatever is the new thing because that's what they do. And they're never going to, like, criticize them for anything that they actually, like, and criticize them, which, for things that would require you to understand, like, broader media and stuff. Because it just doesn't feel like anybody does in the World of Warcraft, like, community a lot of the time.
It sucks because in 2018, playing a game where the fundamental story is war and resource scarcity is too real, and it's World of Warcraft absolutely trades in an explicit apoliticalness. Does not assign itself a political value to most of the things it does, which is interesting because it absolutely has a lot of political things to say, but the things that it says, I would say that a lot of how World of Warcraft is shaped politically is very conservative to some degree. And I mean, I've sort of written about this a little bit, but like, and I don't want to go too deep into it because I'll be here all day, but like the lack of contextualization, the lack of a viewpoint for war being the fundamental of a game called World of Warcraft means that you just for 14 years, you have just missed the boat on the point
right.
that your game could be making.
It feels so dated in that way, because it feels like, well, it's a video game. It doesn't need to have a viewpoint. It just needs to be packed with cool stuff to do. That's what it feels like all the time.
Because it was made in an era when games didn't think about that shit,
right.
and we're not there anymore.
And
like,
also,
this game
got popular because of the novelty of, like, oh my gosh, the world I read about, I can walk around in, you know? I can see the characters that I've heard about, you know?
Yeah. Like, it was started development in 2001 and 2002, and 2001 and 2002 is right before we really, as a country, really started thinking about, maybe, not that wars before then were good, because I am old enough to remember the first war that we had in Afghanistan and Iraq, but it was that generation of people understanding that things like state surveillance and regimes and fascism and things of that nature were not just historical, they were real. And that game came out of that era. And we're in a very different place now with that. And so a story that's hung on the tiniest thread about, like, well, we're a faction about hate and anger. And we don't want the Alliance to have anything nice, so we're gonna burn their fucking tree down. Is threadbare.
That's the next expansion, by the way. The one that's coming out in weeks. Yeah.
It makes one faction complicit in genocide.
Yeah.
And number two, it sort of implies that those things just happen in a vacuum, and that it's just okay to put it in a video game because, well, it's just fun times with two factions. And oh, isn't it so funny if, like, your friend is a Horde player and you're an Alliance player? And that completely doesn't work in 2018 when we're all on social media and we're all human beings and we're all playing a game. And dividing people into factions for marketing's sake is
feels
terrible.
Really artificial and
artificial and stupid.
Because
and
it
I
is,
hate it.
I mean, by design, it is artificial because that's literally that's how the factions are split. But they could treat that so much better. Like, I don't want, like, the Horde and Alliance to, like, you know, like, gallop together with hands held. But, like, they don't need to be. Like,
I wouldn't have a problem.
I mean, yeah,
with
I wouldn't.
Happening.
I wouldn't have a problem either. But I understand that, like, yeah, maybe they have, like, basically, I think the differences between the two factions shouldn't be the one they want to kill them, like, kill each other. I think it should be more that, like,
cultural.
Yeah, cultural, and just have, like, differences, but maybe not, like, hate each other. Maybe some of them hate each other, and maybe the game writes them as, like, look how, like, hateful these people are. But instead it's just like, no, you're a Horde player, you hate the Alliance, right? And it just, like, I don't know, it's bad.
It's bad. Yeah. And in this era it's worse. It's just because every single time they completely undo their own writing, because by the end of the expansion there's always something that overrides that huge faction, because
there's bigger
conflict.
Threats than the players. Like, the players fighting each other is so small scale for a fantasy world. Like, there's always a bigger threat. There's always a cosmic threat, you know?
And it's always them having to say, well, we've got to put differences aside.
Yeah.
And then the next expansion, they're like, well, we put those differences aside, but look at what this fucking shithead is doing, so I'm going to get angry about it, and I'm going to kill somebody. And then the conflict starts anew. And I know that that's how those games keep a persistent level of content going, but I'm tired of it in 2018.
Yeah.
I'm fucking tired of it.
It just, like, feels like WoW is, like, shackled to, like, this old, old stuff that it just, like, it has no interest in leaving. And it just seems like the game is just going to forever stay that way because it doesn't have any incentive to, because it's like, it's the big juggernaut. It's not the, I don't know, do we call it a juggernaut anymore? It's like the most popular MMO still, but it doesn't need to really grow because it's got people paying monthly. So
it's
like,
not
why
a
bother?
Juggernaut, Tyler. World of Warcraft is the guy that peaked in high school, and now he's like 26.
That's a better way to put
and
it.
He's
yeah.
still going to high
That's
school
why,
parties and things.
I was saying
school.
Juggernaut. I'm like, it's not really a juggernaut anymore because nobody cares.
Yeah. And it sucks because they could innovate in such a way that really does say some things with the story. Like, okay, so we're going to war. Why not have that be a way to suck people in and then actually make a statement about war? Actually make a statement about where hate gets you. Actually make a statement about factionalism and fascism and
yeah,
and war.
And their statement usually is just like, wow, we really shouldn't be fighting. We should just work together, which is like so, it's so boring.
And milk
like,
toast.
Yeah, it just doesn't have any, like, it doesn't actually have a viewpoint, really. It's sort of just like an excuse to have a bigger threat that you fight.
Well, because I think the company is really bland politically in that respect, because even Overwatch, which is a definitely a more innovative in that sense and more sort of even vaguely aware of reality game, still backs away from having a viewpoint about the future and robots other than to say that there's robot racism, but not real racism.
Right.
So we're looking at a company that has these issues, and they have issues within even their stories with just also having a story that's incredibly like xenophobic, isolationist, imperialist,
right.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, like colonialist, racist, sexist, you know, like all that sort of stuff. But it won't even do the justice of like just picking a point of view
right.
for Which stuff is, because it would alienate its giant fan base that it wants to
and
have.
And it's sad because like as a Blizzard, as a developer in a way, like it's a little sad because like, you know, instead of trying to make another game that deals with this, which I mean, maybe Overwatch will a little more in the future or something, but it's like their newest games have no story, really. I mean, I guess there's sort of story to Hearthstone and like Heroes of the Storm, kind of, but like those games are made to just be games for the most part in terms of like, because, you know, it's a bunch of characters from other games. It's just like a, you know, it's very much about just playing the video game. So they sort of like they've gotten away from having to like write that stuff. And it's sort of I don't know. It's kind of disappointing, I guess. Not that like they had like they set a high bar, but it's like it doesn't seem like they have any interest in trying to do anything with like story with their games. Like it doesn't feel like even like the way StarCraft ends and then like Diablo now, like it doesn't feel like it's a huge priority for them, and other than just selling content.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's hard. It's weird to like. It's hard to go back to a game and not really care about it. Like any like care about it all and care about the new stuff but still have like things you want to do in it kind of thing. It's really weird. It's weird to I don't know, something is like really strange because there's not a lot of games that you go back to or I've gone back to that feel so insular. It's so weird, like because even like Minecraft, which I've been watching Minecraft videos lately about the like aquatic update, even that like game, like obviously that's got it. I mean, maybe that community is probably insular too, maybe, but you know, like I was watching like videos and stuff, and like there's stuff in Minecraft that is like at least somewhat aware of other things. Like I don't know, it feels like even Minecraft is like more progressive than World of Warcraft, which is weird.
It's, I mean, like Minecraft at least is more open, and so it
doesn't
users
have like a
kind
story,
of develop
really,
their own
but,
story. It doesn't have the story.
But still, I still
it,
feel
so.
Like
but
it,
still.
It pays attention to what 2018 is. I don't know. Like it just, I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like adding an underwater patch.
Yeah.
Know, I mean, like, I mean, Minecraft and World of Warcraft are two very
they're
different
very
games,
different,
and
yeah.
They have their own like lifeblood.
But it's just
and that
weird
sort of
to
thing.
See games that like how is this a modern game? It's like I never usually ask that with like I mean even like I don't know even like games like Abduction that we played recently, or I mean obviously Tacoma is like more recent, but stuff like that, it's like the semi recent. That stuff still feels like it's aware of things.
I don't think World of Warcraft's a modern game. And
no,
I
it really
it
isn't.
It eschews modernity.
Yeah, which is so weird. I've never, like, that's kind of unique in a way, right? Like, what other games do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, even games like Civ.
Right.
Civilization, sort of. Which is funny, because that game is all about...
Yeah, like, it's still about the stuff that, like, that's, I just find that that's really weird that WoW does that, and it's despite having new content every month or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's just so strange.
Yeah, so it's, but it's funny because then on top of that, like, I still get these nostalgia pangs when I play certain areas. I still get these, like, little hits of, like, I don't know, like, I was reading an article that Cameron Kunzelman wrote. We keep mentioning him, like, every week because he's, like, just a great writer. But, like, he mentioned about going back to Durotan and going back to the Valley of Trials, you know, to create a Horde character. And just getting that, like, weird, like, deep-in-your-bones feeling of what it feels like to be around other people. And I think that's still the magic for me. It's just that that world and the people was such an innovative experience when I was 24, but now I'm 36.
Yeah.
And I want more than just that.
Right. And that's the part that I think will never be satisfied. Like
satisfied with.
Because yeah. I think that they're making a game for the younger you still. You know?
And I'm not younger.
And a lot of people aren't that played it.
They aren't. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to maybe wrap up with that very overwhelmingly positive note.
Yeah.
Tyler, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/TylerColp. It's like TylerColp. I'm on Twitch. Tyler, it's like twitch.tv/not Tyler. It's OtterXPop. And then I'm also on YouTube with all our streams, because I stream every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. All the stream like archives, if you want to watch them, are on my YouTube, which is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch and on Twitch as Apple Cider Witch. Also, if you have any questions for the show or comments, you can reach us. Our Twitter is MISFcast on Twitter. You can also send any questions or comments. We'd love to read them on the show to MakeItSoundFiction, all written out at gmail.com. Also, would really help us out if you want to rate and review us on iTunes. It means a whole lot. We'll also
read
your review on the show. So would really help us out. Also, if you love the show, tweet about it, put it on Facebook, talk to your friends about it, let them know, give us a link, tell them, hey, I heard this really cool podcast about this thing, you know, tell them what's up, and it would really help us out.
Yep.
So, yep. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.